I'd like to look, if you want to turn with us over into Isaiah. Isaiah, the 57th chapter. I'd like to start with the first verse there. Isaiah 57. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth at heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Maybe we should just stop right here and have prayer before we go any further. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for the privilege that we have of coming together in Thy name. We realize, Lord, that each one of us is a needy soul that is headed quickly towards eternity. And as we're gathered here, Lord, we pray that Thou will be here in our midst with us. Thou will speak to our hearts and speak through the Word and help us, Lord, that we might be hungry, that we might be thirsty for the living waters, and that our hearts will be satisfied with what is prepared for us at the Lord's table here today. We thank Thee again for Thy tender mercies to us. Thou hast granted us another day according to Thy will, and we pray for Thy guidance today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for you to notice here how this chapter changes around. It starts off speaking about the righteous, how that they perish and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, and none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. And it says, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one waiting in his uprightness. That may be the way it is here in this world as far as a man. You look back at the rich man and Lazarus and you see how that he was not any one that was looked up to or recognized in the business world back there probably. And maybe they didn't realize when the beggar was just taken away and disposed of wherever. But he was recognized by God. Man may have seen him perish, and no man may have laid it to heart. And he, no doubt, was a merciful man. He was taken away, and none considered that the righteousness is taken away from the evil to come. And he left his time of suffering and sores in this body, and he laid them aside, but the God of heaven recognized this humble man that found himself in what the world would have looked on as a deplorable condition. But he was rich in his heart towards God. He was rich toward God. You think of the position of the Laodicean church over in Revelations. You just want to turn over there for a little bit in Revelations, the third chapter. They thought that they were rich in verse 17, Revelations 3:17. They thought that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. And they didn't realize that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They were in a deplorable condition, and yet the world looked up to them, no doubt, because maybe they were excelling in different ways. They may have had their talent shows, and they may have had their churches just like what we have. And they had a form of godliness, but denied God, denied the power thereof. And they thought they were rich and increased with goods and didn't have any need of anything, sitting back just sort of enjoying life. But all of a sudden, you know, the end of life comes there too. And he counseled them to buy of him gold tried in the fire, that they might be rich, and white raiment, that they might be clothed. But they were a lukewarm church. They were some that evidently knew the truth. They'd heard the truth preached. And people can hear the truth preached in the day we're living in, even in our conservative churches. And truth will either soften our hearts and help us to be more tender towards God as we walk in the truth, or truth will callous our hearts and make us hard to where that it's just like a duck with water running off its back, and then it can be preached and preached and preached, and it has no effect upon that calloused heart. And I think we found this condition here in the Laodicean church, a church that wasn't hot and wasn't cold. They were lukewarm, but God was gone. Their love was gone, and God deplored that awful condition that they found themselves in. Now I'd like to continue to read a little on over here in Isaiah, the 57th chapter. It spoke of the righteous man, but now watch what he says now in verse 3. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. And this brought something back to my mind. You know, we were down in Belize for a little while, and one time our daughter Esther said she wanted to take us over and show us the Maya ruins. The Maya ruins. And these were people that at one time were very prosperous and a strong group of people. But now it's talking about the Maya ruins. It's not the Maya palace or the Maya whatever it is. We went over there, and this shows how that as people follow the ways of darkness, that they can go down and down and down. And you know, America's doing the very same thing. It's been a great country. It was established upon the principles of God, and there were people that feared God. But people are running after the things of the flesh. They're running after materialism, and it's going down the very same way. And it's sad to say that they can go to the awful place that these Maya people went to. We went, drove through the jungles, and finally got out and walked in. And as we walked in, high trees were way up in the air, the canopy above the jungles. And the black howler monkeys, you could see them up in the trees, going through those trees. And we walked clear on in until here in front of us was a huge, I don't know what you call it, but it was the Maya ruins. It was a place where they worshiped their gods. And I don't have any idea. I thought this morning I got the encyclopedia out and was going to take a look at it and just look into it a little bit more. But there it was, sticking high in the sky. And over here on the side, the river was going by, and the canopy of huge trees in the jungles on the other side. And we walked down to the foot of it, and there were steps up a certain distance, and then just grass, and it got steeper and steeper. And if you went around behind, there were steps that you could go up and go clear to the top. And no telling how many days and weeks and months and years it took to build this huge thing. And I don't know what they were trying to do, what they were trying to prove, or if they thought if they got this thing that they could worship God. But I know one thing that struck my heart with tear is down below on the one side. Someone said right there, and there was a special place, right there is where that they sacrificed their children to their gods, right there at the one side of this Maya ruins. And I don't know, I can't understand what all took place there, as they would no doubt love their children as much as you love your children, and I love my children. But to come to the place, and I don't know if they, in their wild orgies and all they, and their drunkenness, as they would dance and carry on, and in their false worship to their God, but here these precious children were being sacrificed over here. They may have been like those priests back in the Old Testament that cut themselves until the blood gushed out. You say, well, they weren't sincere. Well, yes, it was very sincere. They were sincerely wrong. Just as if you would walk into the bathroom and reach up into the medicine cabinet and you got something that you thought was a medicine that you needed to help whatever you had, and you didn't realize that what you picked off the shelf was a bottle of poison. And you sincerely thought it was medicine that would help your situation, but you took it and you put it to your lips. And if you didn't recognize by the smell or by the label on it that this was not medicine, but this was poison, then it didn't matter what your sincerity was like, but its deadly results would be what would take place in just a little bit. Well, these people inflaming themselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the rocks, in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rock, among the smooth stones of the stream, in thy portion. They are thy lot, even to them thou hast poured a drink offering, thou hast offered a meat offering. They didn't lack in offerings. They went through the motions. We still have people today going through the motions. And you know, there are motions to worship in praying, right? In praying the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man. But unless it's unto God, and unless God accepts what we have from a clean, pure heart, then we're just going through the motions. And it does not, it can come to the place that the first love is lost. And the Holy Spirit is gone, and there's death in the camp. Upon a lofty and high mountain thou hast set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also on the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. And art gone up, thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even to hell. In all of their offerings, in all of what they went through, all of their perfumes and all of their ointments and all of their worship to their false gods, they were debasing themselves to hell. I had to think the other day. Yesterday we went into Springfield and drove around a little bit around to some of the areas, and we saw some tremendous church buildings, big church buildings, that I remember as just a boy. When we've driven around through Springfield, we drove over to the square, and I remember that place used to be a place where there was a parking area in the middle. You parked there, and those were the main stores of Springfield. And it was that way until the malls and all the plazas and things started coming in, and then it went to nothing, and sort of a bad element moved in the area, and it just went clear down until now. They've tried to beautify it and bring it back up and make it good. And I had to think, you know, that can happen to the church too. If we lose God, we have nothing to keep us here. If we lose God, we have no reason to dress modest, to live a holy life. You know, we can have our name on a membership roll, but if we've lost God, we have everything is gone. And I don't know about these huge churches. I don't know how big a congregations they have. That doesn't really make a lot of difference. But as we gather around the country, the Lord is going to be where there are people with a broken and contrite heart. Let's just read a little bit further down here. He brings that in. In verse 10, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid of or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to heart? Twice in this chapter, that phrase was used. In the first verse, the righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And now, in the 11th verse, thou hast not remembered me, nor laid it to heart. And I'm afraid that it can be the condition of us that we can become like Samson, where the glory is gone and we go out like before and we're going to fight our battles, but we don't have the strength that we used to have. The glory is departed. And the little one was born at that time, and it was called Ichabod. And Ichabod, the glory is gone, is over many places where God used to be there. There used to be fervent prayer. There used to be a desperation to draw close to God. But many people have not laid it to heart. If you look back in your life, we're starting a new year now, and you look back in the last year and the other year, where do we find ourselves spiritually? Were we at one time more alive to God and on fire to God and walking carefully and closely? Now, are we closer to the Lord? Do we find our walk with the Lord such that will be a blessing to others and an inspiration? Or has it begin to slip, to leak out? Are we so busy? You know, that's one of our greatest problems, is so busy with earthly things that we don't have time for our heavenly life. Well, notice what he says then. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up thy stumbling block out of the way of the people. And I really like some of these next few verses. Some of them were worshiping the sun and the moon and all the other great things. But he said, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite. And I'd like for you to look over just a couple chapters on over into Isaiah, the 66th chapter. I'd like for you to just especially notice here something just really caught my attention. Isaiah, the 66th chapter. And maybe it's something that as we go through the rest of the day, you can think of particularly on. It starts off with showing and speaking about the greatness of God again. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Now, when you sat down, we have a chair there in our living room, and it's what they call an easy chair, and it has a footstool there at the end. And you usually don't sit on the footstool. You sit on the chair. And if you want to, you put your feet on the footstool. It's a place to rest your feet, to raise your feet up, to rest them. And God says, the earth is my footstool. This old earth and the things that many people are worshiping is God's footstool. God owns it all. He controls it all. He's not going to make anybody a robot to go to heaven. He wants us because we love him. He wants us to go to heaven because we've given ourselves entirely to him. But in his time, he's going to say, it's enough. Right now, we can make our choices. We have the privilege to make our choices. But the time will come then when our choices will cease and eternity will begin. So he says here, where is the house that you built unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But now this is what I want you to particularly think on, and especially think about it as you meditate on the things of God today. He says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. And you remember what that scripture says over in Matthew, speaks about the poor in spirit. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for this, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Even to them that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Trembleth at my word. Poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Sometimes I tried to think of that for a little bit and thought, well, now just what does that mean? And to be of a poor spirit, of a contrite spirit, just makes me think of Mary as she sat at the feet of Jesus and just sat there listening to the wonderful words that Jesus spoke to her. And that satisfied her so completely. She was completely satisfied. The other things didn't even entice her. There were other things that she could have been doing, even with Martha, if she hadn't have been so completely taken up in sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I don't know, but what she would probably be falling in this category when it speaks about that she was trembling at his word. If you could have seen her as she sat there and drank in the spiritual things of God, I believe that in anxiety and reverence and seeking God, that her whole being trembled at the word of God. A holy, hallowed reverence toward the Almighty God, realizing this is God, this is the Messiah. And you know, this morning, if that's the way we've come to service, realizing we're nothing, but he's everything, our hearts will be fed upon the word. Let's kneel in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee again this morning. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art the Holy One, and high and one that is high and lifted up and inhabiteth eternity. And Lord, we realize that each one of us are nothing but lowly humanity and nothing in ourselves at all, and can do nothing without the help of God. Oh, Father, this morning we pray that thou would look down within the hearts of each one here. Thou dost see each one of our needs. Thou dost know where we stand before thee today. We pray that thou would deal with us and help us, Lord, that we might listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as the message is preached this morning, we pray that it might go out and find lodging in our hearts, and that we might respond quickly and immediately to thy holy will. We just thank thee again for thy love and mercy. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.